Before we get into the gospel reading this morning, first we have to cleanse our palates. The story we're about to hear sounds very similar to several other stories in the gospels, but to truly hear what Luke is trying to say through his version of this story, we need to forget about what we know of all of those other stories, and we need to listen with a single-minded focus on this story and these details. So that means when I read to you the story of the woman anointing Jesus' feet, don't assume she's a prostitute. Don't assume that the Simon and the Pharisee is trying to set a trap for Jesus, like we figure the Pharisees always are. Don't assume that this is happening just before Jesus' death. Try not to smoosh all those other versions of this kind of story together. Just listen to what Luke has to say about the sinful woman who anoints Jesus in the home of Simon the Pharisee. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at a table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind Jesus at his feet as he reclined at the table, and she wept. And she began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee saw what was happening, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who this and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. He would know she's a sinner." And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," Simon says, "speak." And Jesus said, "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When neither of them could pay, he canceled the debts of both. Now, Simon, which of them will love me more?" And Simon says, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, Simon, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" And Jesus said to the woman again, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What we have here in this story is what Fred Craddock calls a small drama. The setting is the Pharisee's home, where the host, Simon, and Jesus, and who knows who else, have gathered to dine. The context of this scene creates in us this anticipation of tension. I mean, we know something's going to happen, right? When Jesus goes to eat with the Pharisees, something's going to happen. But we're just waiting to see what it's going to be. And so the crisis in the story is the entrance of this woman of the city, known around town for her, according to Luke, very unspecified sinfulness. So this small drama that plays out is actually a study in contrasts. The contrast of Simon the Pharisee and the unnamed sinful woman. Someone who loves little and someone who loves extravagantly. Someone whose conduct conforms to the rules of society and someone who behaves outrageously and without regard to propriety. Someone whose heart is hard and judgmental, and someone whose heart is soft and pliable with gratitude. And there is Jesus, in the middle of it all, somehow managing to respond with grace to each one. Now, we're not exactly sure why Simon the Pharisee has invited Jesus to dinner. Perhaps he wants to trap him. Perhaps he's curious about Jesus. Perhaps he's hoping to see one of those miracles that he has heard so much about. The reason really doesn't matter for Luke. The important part is that Jesus accepts his invitation. And in terms of hospitality, disaster strikes when an infamous, sinful woman from the city slips into the room and begins to anoint Jesus with a precious ointment. Now, just take a minute to think of the last dinner party you attended or dinner party you hosted. Imagine if this had happened to you. Imagine how the conversation probably would have come to a dead stop, and then the murmuring would have begun around the table. Imagine the sound of the forks hitting the plates as surprised guests drop their silverware in shock of what the woman is doing. Imagine how red and embarrassed the guests' faces must have become as they watched this very intimate moment happen in a very public place. Imagine the host of the meal, stricken and uncertain how to respond to this intrusion. It's a scandalous moment, no doubt about it. And Simon is disgusted with what is happening. He's disgusted with the woman and with Jesus for letting her do what she is doing to him. But isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't say a word during this tearful ceremony. He doesn't encourage her in what she's doing. He doesn't discourage her from what she is doing. He doesn't say a word. And neither does she. And yet they were speaking volumes to each other. In fact, when Jesus does finally speak, he's talking to Simon, the Pharisee. Simon, the host of the dinner party that has just been disturbed. And Jesus begins to explore who has been more hospitable this evening. And it's the beginning of the study in contrasts. When Jesus entered the home of Simon, Simon did not provide cool water to wash his dusty feet, but she bathed his feet with salty tears. Simon did not greet him with a kiss, but she didn't stop kissing his feet. Simon did not anoint Jesus' head with oil, but she anointed his feet with precious ointment. Even though Jesus is a guest in Simon's home, it is the woman who extends hospitality. The common courtesy that anybody would have shown, particularly Simon the Pharisee, for some reason he fails to show. And in his failure, her hospitality is magnified 1,000 times through the tears of the woman. So as I was studying this little one-act play throughout the week, the question I kept coming back to is, why? Why is Simon the Pharisee so stingy and the woman so gracious as they each welcome Jesus in their own way? Why does the man who has the high position in the church and wealth and prestige and who is held in high esteem by others around him, why does he behave so badly when the woman who has nothing but a bad reputation and an alabaster jar of ointment behave in such a hospitable way? Well, Jesus explains with a little parable. He says, a certain creditor had 2 debtors, one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When neither of them could pay, he canceled the debts for both. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon says, I suppose the one for whom he had canceled the greater debt. Jesus has forgiven the debt of both of these people. The Pharisees, whose debt is small, and the woman whose debt is large. In turn, Simon's response is small. His love is thin and little, while her response is large and her love is lavish. But maybe Jesus isn't talking about the number of sins here. Certainly all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so I don't know that we can really say that he technically sinned less, fewer times than she did. So perhaps her debt was greater because her sins were more public and more well known, while his sins were private, internal thoughts of judgment and superiority and arrogance. But maybe that's not it either. What if Jesus was really talking about these debts in terms of feeling the burden of how much one's sin weighs? What if instead of the total number of sins, keeping a score sheet of sorts, what if instead of that, the one whose debt is larger means she is the one who is more acutely aware of her sin and the heaviness it causes in separating her from God? Maybe it's more about awareness of sin. She is certainly very aware of her sin. And because she is so aware, her response to Jesus' forgiveness is that much greater and gratefuler than Simon. Simon, who is quick to judge both the woman and Jesus. Simon, who seems to think that he is without need of both forgiveness and forgiving others. People of God, forgiveness is everything. Forgiveness at heart is the restoration of a relationship. It is a releasing any claim on someone else for whatever they may have done to you in the past. That's why this analogy to debt works so well. Forgiveness cancels relational debt, and it opens up the future. That's why it's so valuable, so important. Just like that alabaster jar of ointment. As one person writes, forgiveness also gives you back yourself. Because you know, after a while of being indebted and owing others, and after a while of knowing yourself first and foremost as a debtor and a sinner, those realities start to dominate you and define you. And you might start to think that you are no more and no less than what you have done, the mistakes that you have made, and the debts that you owe. But when you are forgiven, all those limitations disappear, and you are restored and renewed and set free. And out of that freedom, out of that forgiveness, flows gratitude, like the tears falling from the woman's eyes. Because she knew just how great her need was and how deep her debt was, she knew the overwhelming beauty and peace of God's forgiveness. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. If we can't admit the depth of our sin and the distance that it creates between us and God, then we'll never know overflowing gratitude. We'll never be able to live and love with abandon, living in the freedom of being more than the mistakes that we've made and the debt that we owe. You know, there's a reason we do a confession of sin every Sunday at the beginning of the worship service. Sometimes we are a little bit too much like Simon the Pharisee, who doesn't quite realize just how sinful he is. But when we gather for worship, we are reminded that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that we have been transformed by God's amazing grace through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit into people who are more than the mistakes that we have made and the debt we owe. We are forgiven and beloved children of God. And if we forget that, if we forget that our sin and our debt is so great, then as the reading from Galatians says, then Christ died for nothing. And our love will be thin and little, just like Simon's. So this little drama here in Luke 7 is a reflection on Jesus' forgiveness, which is played out between two very different people. To the woman, forgiveness and canceled debts are a sheer blessing, something so beautiful and so important that it breaks her heart, and all she can do is express her forgiveness, express her gratitude. But Simon's pretty sure he doesn't really need any forgiveness, because he's a Pharisee. He's righteous. He's a keeper of the law. He obeys the law. He does what he should, and he's almost offended at the very suggestion that he might need forgiveness. I don't know what's in your hearts today. I don't know if as you listen to this little story, your heart is on the floor with the woman at Jesus' feet, overflowing with gratitude for the forgiveness that you have received. Or maybe you're sitting with Simon in the chair, looking on disgustedly at this public display. Either way, it never hurts to confess our sin again, knowing that the greater we realize our debt is, the more grateful we will be in response, and the greater and more lavish our love will become. So this morning we're going to join in a little prayer together. Let us pray. For deceitful hearts and crooked thoughts, for barbed words spoken deliberately, for thoughtless words spoken hastily, for envious and prying eyes, for ears that rejoice in iniquity and rejoice not in the truth, for greedy hands, for wandering and loitering feet, for haughty looks, have mercy upon us, O God. Have mercy upon us according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out our offenses. Wash us through and through and cleanse us from our sin. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive what we have been, sanctify what we are, and order what we shall be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.